Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We've been waiting for this cast member to re-enter our lives. The translator is back, y'all.
That's what I was going to start with, too.
Yep. Hello, everyone. God, these two people have nothing in common. Now, I am the only one standing between them and certain destruction.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love. Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Holy fuck, that's a large knife.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Only 3 people got, no, 30.
A lot of people got that.
Yeah.
Anyone
under 40 did
that.
That
movie is probably 30 years old.
Hey, Siri, when did the movie Crocodile Hunter come out?
Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, yeah.
You bitch.
Siri says, I don't know how to respond to that. You offended it.
Crocodile Dundee!
Hold on.
I'm going to go ahead and...
Hey, Siri, when did Crocodile Dundee come out?
Riveting. I love we do this on the air.
What year do you think?
87, 88.
86.
Oh.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah. No, Paul Hogan's alive.
He is?
Steve Irwin is dead.
Oh, I get him confused. Paul Hogan wrote that movie.
I did not know that.
You know what? Because he couldn't find a part for himself, just tells you right at yourself.
That is ingenuity. I am proud for Paul Hogan.
He was hot.
I agree. His shirt was open. This is Toe!
Boy, it sounds like someone really looked at Paul
Hogan. Mama, can we watch that Australian movie again with the crocodiles?
Jay Bird, you already watched that 7 times. I know you love crocodiles, but let's just go to the zoo.
That's not the reason, Mama.
I did love crocodiles.
Yeah. I don't think he loved
my
crocs
brother's
much
favorite
as the cocks.
My brother's favorite book was Lyle's Birthday Party, and it was about
Lyle the crocodile.
And my brother asked it to be read all the time, and I grew to detest the book because I considered it for babies. And so much so that I defaced it with crayon.
It's really a wonder your brother still loves you. With all the shit you put him through.
The book is defaced with like green crayon across his face.
And your mother wouldn't buy a new book and out of principle.
Of course not. And I asked, what happened? She's like, God, you did that because you hated the book so much. And your brother always asked for it. He's like, I said, he asked for it because he knew I hated it. That was our relationship.
Again, shocker that you're both so close to this
My
day.
Brother spent most of our childhood winding me up.
Well, I can't relate to that at all.
I'm sure. Y'all, listen to our announcements on the first show.
Yeah, we've got Love is Blonde, Love in Paradise.
By the way, this is season 4, episode 5. Lies don't have legs. Lies got no
have
legs.
Got no legs. I've got no legs to hold me down. Where does that title come from in this?
I don't know.
Is it Danielle and Johan?
Who's lying?
Because she says he's Johan.
I'm not even still sure he's lying. I think that miserable bitch just needs a way to destroy him.
Oh, yeah. That's what it's all about. Every single episode. Y'all, I will say, update on that. I have unsubscribed to his Unfiltered, mainly because they're going to charge my credit card on February 7th again. And it probably...
March 7th.
Or March 7th. A, it probably would get declined. And B, I don't want to pay $25 anymore.
That's a lot of money.
But I will say, and I've done a lot of research, and like I resubscribed to Georgie's OnlyFans to see for Darcy Stacey if he's done anything. He hasn't. He hasn't touched it in months.
Wow.
Just nothing. So, and I've...
Wow.
People on Too Hot to Handle, Love Island, I have subscribed, and yes, I've written them off on my taxes because I'm doing the work for you.
Yeah.
But...
I think that's fair.
Out of anyone I've ever subscribed to on an OnlyFans, the cast members, or this Unfiltered thing, which is Stephanie, Johan delivers more than any other person.
Wow.
Now, for any of the jack-off videos or him spooging on something, you're going to have to pay $99 or a lot
Hell
of money
no.
for that. But if you just want to see a, like, I didn't send it to you, but there was a picture of him just lying in bed naked with his dick in his hands.
Erect?
Yes.
What's it look like erect?
Like a redwood. It is a I sent Poodle a video from today, and it is one of the largest dicks I've seen in person.
It's a large protuberance.
It reminds me of that book.
It's like a proboscis. It's just like
it's my, you know, my Aunt Darla got me this coffee table book that's about big dicks. What is it? It's a
just the cock book?
What's the gay book that they make all the gay art table books? That book.
Tashin.
It's a Tashin.
It's not usually all gay, but they do some gay.
Anyway, it's this book that's about like just dicks. It's called like the little book or the big book of big dicks or something like that. Y'all probably
I think
sure
it's
you
called
sold
like
it.
The dick book or something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, my Aunt Darla thought it was so funny to get it for me. And you open it up in the cover and there's this guy with this. It's a prostitute. Aesthetic dick they did, but it's like a 13 to like 20 inch dick on this guy for like a photo shoot.
And family jokes.
And it says, "With love, Aunt Darla," right by his dick. And she's like, "That is so funny. I sent you that." And I forgot
That's
about
your family. We
oh,
would
I
never
know.
Do that.
I told Aunt Darla the story of I forgot when my house cleaner came over to clean my house and I forgot and I left it sitting on the coffee table. And she, poor Carmen, she laughed and Aunt Darla laughed and laughed. But anyway, it's an interesting book. Why am
let's,
I telling
let's
this?
Get...
Johan has a dick that could be in that book.
It's very big.
It's a very big dick.
It's a very big dick.
And it is... I sent that video to Poodle and I wrote, "I hate Danielle."
I hate her too.
Just a waste of dick.
Boy, she really shows her ass every single episode she's in.
And it's no surprise that Johan can get everybody pregnant because he doesn't have far to go. That little swimmer's coming out of that dick and they go, "Where? Oh, it's here. It's right there." Because that's how far he gets, y'all.
It gets right out and they go, "Oh, here it is." There's the egg.
It's the first one out.
It's,
wins.
It's actually up in the ovary.
Yeah, somehow. It is. I'm telling y'all, it is that big of a dick.
And don't write us in saying the dick can't go up in the ovary.
I'm not. I know nothing about it.
I'm surprised it doesn't hit the end of the uterus, though. Yeah. It's like, boom, 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 boom.
It can't be comfortable.
No, I agree.
As you said, there are dicks that are too big.
There are dicks that are too big.
I mean, women's vaginas work better than men's buttholes. But
I've heard. Where are we going with this?
I don't know. We've been talking a lot about dick.
I was just...
That's it. Love in Paradise. We're talking about that.
Love in Paradise, season 4, starring Lidia Jimeno, Pedra's mother. It's going to be madness.
It's going to be madness.
Anyway.
And the gays are back, y'all.
And another two couples who I'm sure will be...
All the rest of them are new.
Wretched.
I don't know who Lidia's dating.
I don't know. It hasn't been released yet.
I'm going to sneeze. Well, go ahead and sneeze. Bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Anything else?
Love is Blind, season 4 coming soon. I think that's about it.
Seeking Brother Husband. We're going to do that
show. Seeking Brother Husband. That is going to be on in March. It's going to be on the Patreon at the cringe tier level.
We'll put the first episode for free.
Yeah.
Try before you buy.
Chris and Jamie. Okay.
Translation device is back. So, y'all, Chris is feeling better. And she says, I want to go see the city. And I went, great. Great tourism. And then she followed that with, where can I get a knife?
I want to go to a store that has weapons.
To keep us safe.
I want to buy something to keep us safe. Because, you know, and Jamie's face is like, and, y'all, the thing about it is, we were talking about this right before the show. I didn't bat an eye at this because I know I was raised in a gun and knife culture. My father has guns. My brother has guns. My brother collected knives. My brother would get at age 8 when Chris said, my eighth year birthday, I got a knife. I went, me too. But I used it to make color forms.
Color forms?
Like paper dolls and like I never had color forms. I was making a joke.
Were you? You really did, didn't you?
More like Shrinky Dinks. I loved Shrinky Dinks. But people would give me knives and I would just like lose them. My father's
I did get a pocket knife.
Yeah.
Like as a young kid, I cut it and when we were camping at Boy Scouts and I threw it in the wood and I never wanted it again because it cut me.
You were mad at your knife.
Yes, I did not like it.
But I'm just going to say, where she's from, everyone probably freaked out. Now, what isn't normal is the stabbing midair that she was doing in the store.
I mean, that for you. I grew up in that culture, too, of guns and knives. However, my father was not into any of that. So I thought it was super weird when she said I was 8 years old and got it. That was like a knife like that.
I got a pocket knife. I never got a knife like that either.
I remember though some kids that like their dads or they had those. I call them Rambo knives.
Yeah, but my brother got knives like that. Like I knew people who had knives like that.
This and I'm genuinely asking this. Like, what's the point? Because like a gun. Or like Robbie Talbert had bow and arrows. I get that. You want to learn to hunt.
It's an extension of thinking you need to protect yourself because you're paranoid.
So like a kid, though, needs a knife.
And you think it's really cool and I guarantee you can do a whole psychological idea why, especially men, and in this case, someone who has a lot of fear in her life.
I mean, this I can relate to. She wants to protect herself. I just wonder, as an 8-year-old, why do you get an 8-year-old and a BB gun? You want them to learn to shoot.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely asking, is there like knife skillery that I don't know about?
I think it has to do also with young boys in the South's masculinity. I think it has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
You give them a knife because they need it because they need to do knife things with little boys.
I probably that's just what would they learn do. To juggle it or use it in my color guard.
Right. That wouldn't have been good.
Could have cut myself. I think my parents knew I would have cut off a finger.
I lost everyone that I had. But every man I know in the South, I shouldn't say that, where I grew up, they would need to say, oh, you need my pocket knife? They're always carrying a pocket knife.
Oh, no, my brother, my nephews, they all, my dad, they have a pocket knife, and he used it all the time.
Right. But that's normal.
Yeah.
But a big knife like that, I agree with you. You weren't necessarily given them.
But a pocket knife, you can use it to protect yourself, but it's usually a pretty dull knife. It's usually used to like cut boxes or like that kind of stuff, like a Swiss Army type of knife.
Right. But a big knife like that, people collected them. I think when she was talking about getting a knife, that was what she was talking about, a pocket knife probably when she was 8. Not one of those. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. We saw the videos of her knife collection.
That's a lot of knives.
Y'all, Chris is fucking nuts.
She's
just, and I'm not saying because she owns knives. I'm just saying, as Jamie says, when you piece the story together, all together, you go.
You got the narcolepsy, you got the night terrors, you got the neck surgery. Yeah.
Yeah.
A sissy did contact us and said that the halo surgery that she was needing was expensive, but you would need, she doubts severely she can get that in Colombia.
Because the sissy had it, right? Yep. Yeah. So, and said there was a few surgeons in the U.S. that would do it.
Yeah. And it made me think she's just extremely avoidant, saying, I need to get this surgery until it gets worse. But
like, to me, do you wait till a surgery gets, wouldn't you want to get it, not super early, but wouldn't you want to get it before your,
because the longer it takes
your bones to
for you to, the know. Longer it takes for you to get there, the longer the recovery is going to be because your body ages.
It only depends on, like, my Aunt Karen, she had to get her hip replaced and then the other hip replaced, and because she was born without hip sockets. So she had a...
What?
Yeah, she was born without, like, the round hip socket. It was just bone on bone when she was born. She was in a full body cast from the ages of birth until she was, like, 5 years old, like, from her breast down. That's why she had such strong shoulders, because she just drug herself around. But anyway, her mom kind of carried her around everywhere. But
she was like a mummy.
My mom's friend Karen. Yeah, they just kind of drag her around.
But why'd they put her in a full body cast?
Because it was 1950 when she was born.
But why'd they take her out of it?
Because they had to set the bones or something. They took her out of it, but after like a couple of years. But that's why she had such good shoulders.
She just drug around like she was in a foxhole.
Kind of, yeah. Uh-huh. And then she kind of walked in and she had pain, but sometimes doctors do wait for technology to catch up and get better if they know, and they waited on her hips before, because hip surgery in the 80s wasn't great. Now you can get hip surgery. You're up and walking 2 hours after you wake up.
I don't know if Chris's story or your Aunt Karen's story is the sadder one.
Well, she's the one that died of breast cancer, so, in Arkansas.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Wow. Anyway, so they are going out to see, Chris says, I've always had weapons in my home, and they're looking at knives, and Chris has heard about all the drug lords and the kidnapping, and
she says, Columbia's not safe, and Jamie says, it's totally safe, and she said, you were punched on the bus and your cell phone was stolen, and Jamie's response, that was one time in 5 years. So I guess every five years we reset. Do we reset every 5 years?
That was funny when she's like, that was one time in 5 years that I was punched in the face.
Three times in 10 years. But I'm counting up.
Colombia is a lot safer now that a lot of the big drug cartels have not necessarily gone away. They've just gone a little more underground.
Well, actually, like in places like Medellin. So it was really bad in Medellin. And because I thought
Watch Narcos.
Well, and because of that, though, now there's actually a huge tourist trade of people going to. I've read all about
Stop!
It.
Stop!
Like, no, because of Narcos, there's this huge tour. People go.
I want to see where this was murdered at this cartel.
Yes, they want to see where like people were shot. Where they want to go and see where all these things are happening. They'll do like pop up like clubs and a. It's very
never underestimate the human race's potential for capitalism.
Yeah.
It's a never underestimated.
So now that money's coming in. And so, especially in because I thought about doing a language intensive, and I'm still wanting to do that in places. I was looking in like Colombia or Spain, and I was looking at my friend who's from Bogota said, you should go to Medellin. So I was looking a lot into it, and basically, it's much safer than it used to be. pickpocketing is still, which still is the law, at least the article I read, is one of the biggest things that's happening now, which is better than murders.
And they probably go for mostly tourists, so people can see who are tourists.
So, anyway.
Anyway, but...
What was his name? It was, not Narcos. What was the other,
I don't know what you're talking about.
The guy who did, who died there. Was it, in Colombia? The drug cartel guy.
Escobar.
Escobar, thank you.
He died?
Is he dead? I thought he was killed. I don't know. That was in the 80s. I wasn't listening. It's history to me.
Anyway, she's basically saying...
I know how to use this knife safely. My daddy done taught me this at all.
Yeah, this doesn't look safe.
Yeah.
I will say, though, they had a good compromise where Jamie's like, I'll let you have the knife. Just don't have it in our bedroom. So you can't grab it during one of your night terrors.
And stab me to death.
Because, you know, let's say she's had a really, really vivid night terror or something like that. And she gets out of bed and doesn't know where she is.
I hope they do like a night camera for them sometimes.
Terrifying.
I will say, you've said this about Jen. Like, you're like, I want to know her history. I kind of want to know what happened to Chris.
No, Chris's story is devastatingly sad.
Oh, yes.
Jen's is, you go, no, she didn't do that. Or, oh, my God. That's what that is. Chris's story
is like Hillbilly Elegy.
Yes, is one horrible thing after another. And why, it's kind of why she is kind of a shell of a person right now who is looking for one good thing in her life, but she doesn't know how to get it. And I don't know.
That knife's not going to help you.
No, no. Do you want to take a break now or talk about Jen and Rishi?
Well, let's just talk a little bit about Jen and Rishi, and then we can stop in the middle. We don't have to...
That is so
we
true.
We could do what we want. It's our show.
We could do what we want to do, say what we want to say, play how we want to play.
Add a family. I should know all that because we did it in show choir. Because Casey Clinton couldn't do the choreography very well. That was in our black and white silver checked outfits.
Again, why is there a complete, total recall? At anything that happened...
Well, he couldn't do it, the dance, and it was just like this weird box step now. But it was started with the Addams Family, da-da-da-da, and then it was a medley, and so then it went into the rap.
God, I hate show choir medleys.
They're pretty
bad. I know
bad.
That everyone does them.
They're horrible.
Y'all, stop doing this.
What Hal Leonard has done to show choirs is an abomination.
Jen and Rishi.
And if you get that Hal Leonard joke, you're either a
gay
man in a woman's body or a gay man. If you're a straight husband,
you've done it.
Hal Leonard, he sucked a dick.
But he's an arranger and a publisher for that kind of stuff. A lot of medleys.
Is he still alive?
I think.
Is there a actual Hal Leonard or is it just
I think it was pushed together like Hal and
something
Leonard.
Like Stephen Hal and Leonard Cohen or whatever.
Leonard was probably the last name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Peter Leonard.
Yeah. Jen and Rishi, I'm just dragging you through this.
Keep going. I'm going to look up Hal Leonard.
It seems like everything in Jen's life, her new life in Jaipur, isn't really working. The hair dryer's not working. She's like, and last night.
By the way. Hal Leonard was a real person.
Wow.
Yeah, there you go.
He's dead, though, probably, right?
I'm going to say yes, but the first thing he looked up was, is Hal Leonard a real person?
And the answer is yes.
The answer is in the Winona Daily News. They talk about it.
Riveting.
I don't know where
again,
the Winona...
Again, another useless thing.
Oh, no. It was Leonard Edstrom and Harold Edstrom.
That's what I said.
Well, this says that Hal Leonard is... But then it says Hal Leonard is a significant... It's confusing, this article. You know what? Don't trust the line on a day.
I hate this whole inquiry.
we gotta go on.
It's confusing and it drags me in four directions because I want to know it and I want to fix it. And you just bumble through internet searches.
Well, it's going to have to be a mystery. Like my Aunt Karen said on her blog that she started, it's a mystery to me.
Like I want to ask about.
She had a mystery, a true crime. She was doing true crime before anyone else,
and it was called "It's a Mystery to Me."
It's a mystery to me, and she was getting. Mom was going, "Your Aunt Karen's getting a really popular blog following now. All these people writing in to her about this true crime thing because it's before really podcasts. So she was blogging about it. Then she got cancer and died.
Southern Stories.
So it didn't really finish out.
It's a mystery to me.
It's a clever title.
So, y'all, she's like, and I left him in the clothing store the other day, and all I could think of is her saying, I left him in a store, like it was her child. Where's my son? I left him in a store.
That happened to my drama teacher, Mrs. Kurtz, a lot.
My mother left me in a store once. She left me in Hamrick's. I was in the middle of one of those clothing racks.
She just got in the car and drove away?
No, she in the same shopping center, she went to return something, and all of a sudden she realized I wasn't with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No, Mrs. Kurtz drove home and went, yeah, I forgot Creed. I left him at Homeland.
Wow.
She did it like three times.
Seems like she was a scattered woman.
Did your father poodle shame your mother for leaving
him? She would never tell him that. She would never want him to have an up on her.
Sounds like a great marriage.
What is a marriage except for competing with your partner to see who's the most together? Really?
Oh, God, what's she moving?
Oh, that's them with the door.
Oh, okay. There. So I will say, Jen, speaking of competing, I'm not saying competing, but Jen, I need another episode with her to really kind of figure out her number, but I feel as if Rishi doesn't realize that there is just a trail of men behind him that she's comparing him to.
I know.
It's as if he's competing with those other men.
And he's not doing well, and he wouldn't be doing well for any men. But I think she minimizes the gravity of the situation that is there and what they're up against. And I think that might be his doing because he said, it's going to be fine. I have it all planned out. I'm going to slowly introduce you. So that, I think, was a mistake for her. If he would have said, this is going to be hard, maybe... Because Jen, I think he thought Jen would give up. I disagree. I think she's even more interested in something that she thinks is hard to fight for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
He gets her an outfit, which I will say fits her well and looks good on her.
Yeah, it looks really nice. She looks good.
I don't know if the guy at the clothing store hung it up on himself to see.
For sure. For sure.
We had a sissy who said, it's only men who work at these clothing stores, and she loves it when they have to do that to show what it looks like.
Even if they wonder, like, can you just put it on again?
So she's talking about walking out, and she says, and Rishi says, I'm not saying that this will happen for sure, that my parents will want me to have an arranged marriage. But I can't say. Basically, he's saying, just listen to me. Let us facilitate this. And she's kind of fighting him every step of the way, which I can kind of understand. I can actually see her point and his point pretty both, mostly because we spent so much time with Jenny and Submit.
Yes, but yeah, as someone wrote on our Instagram, they said Jenny clucked so Jen could run. And I went, that is well said.
It's true.
But his friend
Sanjeet
comes into the picture, and we're going to talk about that after the break.
After the break.
See what we did there?
Yes.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cool.
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Y'all, they paid Sanjeet. A producer pulled him aside and said, "Look, I just need you to tell. I need you to squeal like a pig, Jen. Just."
So,
oh, he did his job.
He basically, Sanjeet, y'all, is one of the few people who know about Jen and Rishi's relationship. And he basically says, there's going to be no way that the parents won't think it's weird that you're just showing up there.
You said that way, I know something, she's doing something upstairs. You said that way nicer than he did. He literally was like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
That was what I got emotionally from him.
And basically he says, he's like, they're going to be suspicious. And then even it gets worse, they'll force him to have an arranged marriage. And she goes.
She does do that face. Oh, huh?
And
Rishi just looks at, God, he's gorgeous.
Then he says, Rishi mentions, and now my parents are looking. And she's like, and like it gets worse and worse, and her face gets stretchier and stretchier.
And she says, well, how long have they been looking? He's like
a month.
A month. They just started.
And y'all, Jen, sorry.
Sorry, yeah, she's moving.
We're doing forward roles now.
Yes. Oh, and we did have a sissy from India. Like, I don't know if she messaged me. I think she was on the Patreon. Talked about how, yes, because we asked, like, we couldn't tell if she still wanted an arranged marriage with a family, a love marriage. She was saying that even in a love marriage, she would assume he's going to choose a love marriage
Indian woman.
A younger Indian woman who can have a child.
Right.
So we still actually don't know what mom is thinking.
Yeah.
But we do know.
Mom is
shouldn't
not
love an American older wife.
No.
Yeah.
Even a love marriage is going to be an Indian woman.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So she says, and Rishi says, it's natural. They're doing their job. But he's like, I didn't tell you because it would be worse. And I said, he is really risking a lot here. When you think about it. What he is risking, he's risking losing his, she's risking so much too, but it's interesting.
Is it a, I wonder if it's, this is only based off of two people. So this is a big generalization, but I'm just, but you know, Submit would do that with Jenny as well, where he would kind of sugarcoat or gloss over things and not give her the full story.
Yeah.
He's doing this. Is that just something like culturally? Why
you think women don't need a lot of information?
Because Do I think Jen can go off the rails? 100%. But I think she would behave this very much better if he was more realistic about what they're up against.
I don't know. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that America, that a lot of people from other countries think Americans can only understand their own experience and they will not understand the specifics of their culture.
The coal!
Because
excuse me.
It's pretty true.
It's very true.
Because Americans will say, they just, Americans expect everything to be like my experience. Yes. And or they say, that's weird. And especially the dynamics of Indian culture, especially the reverence for your parents, and the parents will, you will follow what your parents want to do. And that is like, that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't, Americans don't understand. They're like, but if we're in love, it doesn't matter. No, it matters.
I really want to ask Jen if she watched the seasons of...
Remember, though, Jenny the show Smith. Doesn't exist in the world where we are.
I know.
Everything is a documentary.
I know.
You know.
They'll never ask her that.
No.
Now, they might ask her if she's talked to Jenny, because I bet Jenny's probably reached out to her.
Probably. Yeah.
Listen, for chicken to chicken, just want to let you know that she's not going to love you. She's gonna say no. You're gonna have to fight for your man. You're gonna have to pick her eyes out.
Would you play me in the movie?
Yeah. 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 Not without my chicken.
Not without my chicken. Clap. So, y'all, we are meeting the parents. They recognize her.
Well,
like, yes, we've met before.
How many women that look like
how
Jen
many
just show up?
White women with a rogue white with a rogue from X-Men.
She does look like Rogue from X-Men.
White stripe in the middle of her hair.
I'm impressed with you. Good for that.
I know a lot of comic book stuff.
I didn't have to get defensive about it.
I know
it.
A I lot just of it. Said,
probably so, just X-Men, because a part of you wished, like, were you a mutant and could you develop a mutant power?
Yeah.
Some Enneagram 4 shit.
No, because X-Men is so fucking queer, gay-coded. And I really wanted Gambit to ravish me.
And he's not talking about the man who played Gambit. He means the cartoon.
The cartoon.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm gonna dill your piddle. Suck on my okra.
Actually, I have to say, that is one of the most underused. They haven't done a good version of Gambit in live.
So true.
It's upsetting. I think that's what the next phase of Marvel's gonna be, is X-Men shit, because they're getting the rights to all that now.
Good.
Who cares?
Moving on.
Actually, I do.
So we see Priyanka, his sister.
She's
and
pretty.
Y'all, this is finally that kind of thing where everyone's going, oh, so you're here. She's like, yeah, you didn't think I would be? And everyone's like, no reason.
No reason.
Why are you here?
Why are you here?
It's a little weird. And everyone's on eggshells. The parent, and Jen's sitting there like this, y'all. She's like, no one gets anything.
They're both kind of sitting there like, we're totally fooling them. And I'm going,
we're fooling them, Rishi.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there watching, no one is fucking fooling this family. Yeah.
And then, y'all, someone goes rogue. Speaking of X-Men.
Yes.
She basically says...
Rishi did not expect this, y'all. He did not expect this.
Priyanka asked Rishi, so what's she doing here? I don't know if it was Hindi, but in non-English. And basically says, well, I recently moved here. I love Jaipur.
Yeah,
I can't wait to experience Jaipur as an American woman who is definitely not engaged to your brother.
Yes, I'm just here.
And the family just kind of stares.
I'm here for the food markets. It's my thing.
I love the wicker vehicles they have here.
Yes.
I'm gonna study those and take them back.
Yes, exactly.
And then she said, so, mom, what kind of wife are you going to get for Rishi?
Well, she first does. She goes, so your daughter is married. Have you thought about getting your sons married off?
So I can go to another wedding.
Ha, ha, ha. And mom immediately goes, and you see Rishi kind of go, it kind of like when this happens to Poodle a lot, when he realizes someone's husband is home or about to be home, and Poodle kind of makes this face of, and so
better finish up fast.
And Rishi kind of makes that face, and he's still translating because he says, honesty is the best policy, but he's kind of stammering. And mom is like, oh, yes, yes, I'm married. He does change one thing he says, because the mom says, I've been looking for something like years,
2 years,
years and years. Did he change it, or did I think he interpreted that for
a year
her,
and
right?
a half. Yep.
Telling that production looked at him and said, Sanjit, you got one job. One producer, yep. Rachel's like, you fucking say it.
So then dad says, well, the kind of woman we want just doesn't need to be short or educated.
And she said, oh, then it's fine if they're a different religion.
Like, how about someone like my height?
Like my height.
You know,
who used to be Catholic?
Here's my transcript from Sam Houston State.
Yes.
Here are my transcripts. I just have them in my pocket.
This is like, y'all, they did a better job of fooling the parents on Boy Meets World.
That is true. Or
yes.
It is almost like Huey, Dewey, and Louie as on each other's shoulders in
yes,
a trench coat.
In a trench coat.
Like, that's Jen right now.
Yeah, they're fooling, those three ducks fooled more people than Jen.
So, y'all, then basically she says, is she a different religion, blah, 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 like you just said. And it's
Steve Urkel would have been more convincing.
I agree.
Sorry, I'm done
he
now.
He was an actor. He is an actor.
Give him a BAFTA.
And then, y'all, she found out it has been 2.5 years that she's been looking. And then Jen Wills like says, well, I am disgusted. And I have no
tolerance.
But she said,
she went, oh, that's interesting.
Oh, yeah. Oh. She's the worst actress.
It is. And Rishi looked like he just shit his pants from eating too much protein.
What happened? Just this whole scene made me so uncomfortable.
Oh.
This person doing bad infomercial acting in front of where... And Rishi, to make this work, Rishi's scheme really had to involve her not saying anything. Her, the parents saying, what a lovely person we met. Who wouldn't shut the fuck up about who he was going to marry. She shot herself in the foot.
This is one of my most favorite things I've watched on 90 Day Fiancé.
How uncomfortable everyone was.
It was.
And the sister was like, you're like this.
It was great, see a little bit, like... I know Rishi is giving up a lot, but it's real fucking shitty of him. I actually feel a little bit more on her side right now than his. He's lying to her, and to see the
shit turn to him
was great.
100% I agree with you. The problem is, in his situation he's in a cultural situation he is, I don't know what other way it's going to be.
I agree. And he should have explained that better to
her. I agree. I don't know...
Because, yes, she can Google, but if you're coming into my culture, it is my job to explain my culture
to you. I think what you're
you.
Saying is too simple for someone. Because I think an American would just ask, well, why can't we do that? I don't think an American, because of the way we see society, and the way we see our society, mm-hmm. I don't think we can understand it until we live in it.
No, I think that's probably very true.
But, so I... Should he have explained more? Yes. She doesn't know anything. I don't think she could have understood it. I just don't. But I think this
seems like
the best way, especially with parents who seem like they want to live in the way they want to live. They want to join house. They want to join house.
I was shocked, though, that they said that she didn't, that she could be a different... religion.
I think it only matters if she's young and Indian.
They want to. She would. Mom's already mentioned grandchildren.
Yeah,
she wants a baby. Speaking of babies.
Speaking of babies, before we do that, however, I'm going to talk about the Traitors.
Okay.
Y'all, the Traitors reunion just happened on Peacock. It dropped February 28th.
Not the purse, the network.
We have to say that.
We have to say that.
Not a lot of surprises except for Reza and Brandy weren't there. I don't know why Reza wasn't there. Brandy has basically, for all intents and purposes, seems like has been canceled by Bravo because supposedly she touched Caroline Manzo's vagina. I can't believe I'm having to report this information, but Andy Cohen hosted. And you know what? Because I don't think Andy Cohen really was invested in the show, he wasn't as shitty. He honestly acted, he wasn't dripping with judgment mm-hmm. for a lot of people. It was his best reunion experience I've ever seen him do.
Well, look at that.
He asked good questions. He didn't ask horribly judgmental questions like he usually does.
Mm-hmm.
He was more on like a fact-finding thing, but he would say, so how is that different from so-and-so? And I'm like, that's a good question, Andy Cohen.
Well, good.
But, and Alan Cumming kind of introduced him. He's like, I invited the one person who I thought could do this. And Andy Cohen took off his Traitor's hood. It was super campy. They were in this crazy set.
It does kind of make you wonder why didn't they have Alan Cumming hosted? But he stayed in character the whole time. I love that.
No, it makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense when you think about it.
So, and.
And also Andy Cohen was like, I'm doing this.
Yeah. So. Anyway, Kate Chastain pregnant and everything, in a gorgeous kind of like tartan gown. Rachel looked like she was in a costume, like out of My Fair Lady, as usual. And Andy said, well, what do you think, Kate, what do you think of Rachel's outfit? Because she'd called her dressed in a community theater. And she's like, you know, it's subtle. It's subtle for her. And there was like stuff all over. But Kate was, again, the star of the thing. There were the last little bit, they were really hitting Cerie, who was the winner, with basically saying, why were you the two people, Quentin and Andy? And they pointed out, like I pointed out, Quentin was always so seriously and sure of everyone he calls the traitor, but every single guess he said was wrong.
And they pointed
nothing
that out.
Nothing makes me crazier than someone who's not only so sure of something, but they're wrong every time. And he never seemed to learn.
Not that we've ever done that.
No.
We're not wrong every time.
But
just half.
It was, and they pointed that out, and I'm glad it was. And they, Andy, and these were the last kind of two who were there. And Andy was wishy-washy and emotional. These two players were taking the game, and so they were like, were you upset that Cerie didn't kind of what upset you about the last bit? Because they were saying they were upset with her, and they were saying, well, you know, she kind of leveraged my kids and my family. She mentioned it to get Ari out, because Ari's like, I don't want to deal with taking money from his family or things like that. And Cerie said, I hear you. This was a game. We all knew this was a game. And Kate Chastain says, the game's called Traitors. Do you not expect backstabbing?
That's funny.
And it was like, and I said, thank you. And they were getting so butthurt about how they were treating this game. And that's why, y'all, the normies on this season were a joke. They did not understand how reality TV is played. Yes, the relationships you made were real, but people lie, and they just couldn't understand it.
I think that's why the show would be better, either all celebrities or all.
Yeah. Well, this was from the people they chose, though. I don't specifically these two. They were treating it like it was life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they're normal people. I think that's understandable. Even if they're on reality, they.
But it's a game.
Yeah, but I mean, it's...
See, I refuse to acknowledge that, because this is a game they knew from moment one, who you were going to win the money.
But it's still like they're not reality stars, so they go back to their regular life. They don't go back to
no one from Big Brother who comes in before they weren't reality stars. Mm-hmm. Big Brother people knew how to play the game. This mm-hmm. was also a reality game.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So I refuse to acknowledge that hypothesis. Mm-hmm. They knew this was a game, and they're like upset. And so anyway, the big news, Christian is dating Geraldine. And he still couldn't spell her name. That's about it. Everybody else was not forgettable.
And one day, I hope I'm not there when one day if you ever meet Kate Chastain, because you're going to go to jail.
I'm number
like
one.
Like immediately, you're going to freak out.
I want to be on a reality show.
Did you apply?
So I can be on The Traitors. Not yet.
Well...
Fine. Do you know what I've had to do the last 2 weeks?
Go on a vacation to San Francisco for 3 days?
Santa Barbara. Thank you, but I was sick before that. You went to your kids, your nephew's wedding.
It's not my job. I can't hold your hand to apply to Big Brother.
I'm going to do it. I've got like months.
Did you see a date? Or are you just talking out your ass?
Oh, there's a casting thing to be held. I don't know if I should do that or I should do the tape.
Go to the casting thing.
Is that better?
I don't know. Talk to the person you know that can help you. What? You don't know somebody that well. It's just some guy you
Let's
fucked.
Talk
fucked
about
some guy in Big Brother.
Danielle and Johan.
Like that. I think he fucked a PA.
Y'all, he's carrying her purse. Just
that fucking grandma purse. Her energy is just so grandma to me.
It's not even that. Her energy is she is a shrew. Everything is about negating him and telling him how he knows how to not do anything.
I bet she doesn't even work for that dick. I bet she just lays there and goes,
So we meet Sophie from New York City. Remember who coined the term Sankey Panky to Danielle for the first time?
Sankey Panky.
Sophie is fluent in Spanish, by the way.
For people that did, they show on the show, but for people who didn't watch Love in Paradise.
Again, no, this is not Love in Paradise. This is the beginning of this show when she was talking about
was this season?
Yes.
Never mind, y'all already know what Sankey Panky is.
Right.
Boy, that seems like, we're only 5 episodes in, but it does feel like we've had like 8 episodes.
Not that
so
long.
Much has happened.
5 weeks. So, he basically, she's saying, she's not convinced that he's not taking her for a ride. Again, this is what's so funny to me. That she's obviously, she's got him over a barrel. And all of her friends are like, I'm going to see if he...
Yeah.
Yeah. And so...
Yeah.
She's basically asking, you know, are you... what are your parents? Do your parents... Are you a parent yet? And do you want grandkids? And he's like, oh, of course. Do your parents want grandkids? And he's like, of course. And, y'all, that's been a big thing because she's 42 years old. Mm-hmm. And she's concerned about fertility, and
there we should say on Love that was on Love in Paradise, right?
Where they went to the doctor, fertility,
right? Yeah. It was So they actually did go to fertility doctor, and y'all, that kind of she kind of
5% chance.
She glossed over it, but basically, the doctor was like, "Yeah, 5% chance."
He's like, "We just trust God."
Yeah, she's just wanting to use science, and she wants to like do all the surrogate stuff, and he literally says, if it's God's will, a miracle will happen. Which, after seeing the size of his dick, I think their chances
that's a miracle
increase.
Dick.
It's a miracle dick. But anyway, so that it was a big like 2-episode, 3-episode arc
and
thing.
She said, I'm more worried about miscarrying and how that would affect us. And he doesn't realize how much pressure. She says this. He doesn't realize how much pressure he puts on me. And again, the victim.
I don't see that.
The victim to have kids. That's what she's meaning.
No, I still don't really see that.
Doesn't seem like he's in a rush to do that.
No. Anyway, Sophie's like, you have any kids? How do you know? This person's kind of awful. Because she's her only job is to go at Johan.
I'm sure Danielle wound her up. I'm sure she put Danielle. I'm positive Danielle put things in his ear.
And he says, or her ear. He says, well, some women have gotten pregnant. Some couldn't.
What?
Pregnant.
Thank you.
Some women couldn't carry it to term, and some got rid of it. And y'all, this is what Danielle loses it over the whole time. And this seems like I'm gonna wade into this and say he might not have told her because it's not the most appetizing of dinner conversation. That
when I had some shame about it,
yeah, and when I had girls pregnant before, they got abortions,
yeah,
because he's religious. So I'm sure he's probably opposed to it in a way. He seems like he's very religious. So he seems like he might be opposed to this, which is why he didn't mention it, because he finds it distasteful, abortion in general.
I don't know how religious he is. I don't know.
He's really?
Someone who is very religious, I don't think would do OnlyFans.
No, but let me correct you about this, though. I think people who have thoughts about abortion, they base that on their idea of religion. They could almost see a way to do OnlyFans, but they would have a problem with abortion.
I think culturally, yes, but it doesn't seem like, I guess when you say very religious, like he is actively practicing. He doesn't seem like that.
Well, I'm talking about religious as
values.
And his own religious values.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And it makes sense with those religious values why he wouldn't bring that up. It also, because y'all, she says she's mad at him for withholding. That was the reason for her. She said, I'm not upset about the abortion. I'm just upset that
he didn't tell
why
me.
Why would he hide that? And
he must be lying to me.
And I kind of thought, I actually, when I watched this, I thought, is that any of your business?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a woman, so I don't know how I'd feel. But I don't know if I was with someone and they went through that. I don't know if that's any of my business.
Well, I don't know if it had been one way or the other, if it would have changed anything. But what she's taking that as, if he's lying about this, he's lying about something else.
And it's a big jump.
And it feels like a reason, and maybe she has a reason, but I would understand her anger if she was vehemently pro-life. And she said, "You didn't tell me about this. I'm mad because this conflicts with my values."
Yeah.
But this is less than that. This is, I'm mad because you didn't feel that you could share that with me. So this is a problem in our relationship.
So now he's a, quote, toxic per human. Like, what a horrible thing to say. But they get to that later. They kind of go through this. They go to the Botanica.
The Botanica, which is what he calls the witch store.
And he's right. She's like, it's not witchcraft. It is. I mean, I'm woo-woo too, but I'm mainly shocked that they go to the store, they buy all this shit to help him sell beef.
The other thing, talking about religious, I'm sorry to say this. When he said, you can put a saint, he's like, no, that's witchcraft. In my religion, we don't use any pictures of gods or anything like that.
Yeah.
So
he's not Catholic, that's for sure.
Yeah.
She's saying, well, these are going to be things. Clean the floor with this. Do this. Blah, blah, blah.
Prosperity.
This is going to help the butcher shop do better. We're going to give it 9 months to recover our losses.
And it's always about, this is going to fail in 9 months. Just watch it. I'm right.
Well, she even says, again, I've said many episodes, I went, she thinks he's stupid and she wants him to be stupid.
Yes.
And when she said, Johan is like a child, that was her nice way of saying he's dumb.
This is another thing she can hold over him. When she says, if he ever lies again or she finds an inaccuracy, she's like, this is just like the abortions.
Why did she need to spend $235?
it was
they
a
don't
lot.
Have any money. Y'all, you could have bought one thing for $40 to clean the floor with. She didn't have to spend the $235
the next,
when they're broke.
I agree. The next thing, she's like, so I don't know what kind of relationship you want. What kind of a shit question is this?
I just wrote off and running. She is off and running.
She's like, you lied about this. What's the difference? And I wrote down, good Lord, this woman.
I was really trying to, because clearly we don't like Danielle. I'm so angry that she's getting that dick. But I'm not a woman. And so I'm not, I know that I feel like, again, women make their own choices about their body. But again, you're right. It's not even about that. It's not even about the abortion thing. It's about the, I was really trying to, I guess, be so empathetic about that. But that said, and I can be a really empathetic person. There's just not one part of me that could see her point in this.
Well, no, and I couldn't.
At all.
And I think she's not asking herself why. Actually, she's answering it. If she would ask herself, why would he lie about this? Why would, if women who he got pregnant did have abortions, why would he lie? Would it be thinking he was, that's, was that offensive to him that that happened? And he didn't feel that he knew me well enough to share that because he didn't know how I would feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
No, she says, well, he must be lying because he's a liar.
We find out that all these other men lied to her. And that's why this is a sensitive topic to her.
Now, she also says she was in a relationship with a man who had a second family.
Yeah.
Y'all, the classic of an unsolved mysteries or a Dateline is the second family.
Mm-hmm.
It is a classic. You, as someone who's in a relationship, you never feel you can trust someone again after a second family.
My grandma Hazel couldn't. She never got married again after she beat that woman with the chili can. Why could she?
She handled it.
She handled it. Hazel handled it. But she never was with another man again for the rest of her life.
I do want to say, Reality Gays, we do not endorse chili can violence.
We don't.
We do not endorse that.
No. Hormel, you can sponsor us. We're safe.
Yeah. And then did you see when she said, when I speak, you shut your mouth?
Yes.
She just wants someone to control and humiliate.
And fuck
to
her.
Denigrate. And will fuck her.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, y'all, the second family is
It's very much like cult. It's very different. But the dynamic is the same of like Colt and Larissa.
Mm-hmm.
What we're watching in Classless. Colt thought he got a dumb blow-up doll that he can just fuck and have sex with.
No.
And instead, he got Larissa. And he is in no way Larissa, but he doesn't realize this now. But I think he will one day. It is a blessing for him. It is a blessing that A, her Spanish is terrible and she really can't speak Spanish.
Yeah. He can get by, but it's
but
not
we've
good.
Never had a producer just start translating in the middle of a show. We've never had that before on 90 Day
That's
Fiancé.
True. That's true.
And the producer had to just to keep the scene going in when they're fight.
Yeah.
But A, he's lucky that she can't speak fluent Spanish, and B, he's lucky that she's on his home turf where he knows the lay of the land. Because if he was in the U.S.
Oh
right
God.
Now, he would be fucked. Fucked, 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 fucked.
She'd control all the means of production.
Everything, including her bankruptcy, which she's avoiding. So, like, if he
I hate her.
If he really, and think about that dick she's getting. You just, the hater even
I just,
more.
I find her pretty indefensible.
It's a spot it, you got ways. It. She's a toxic human.
Yeah.
Not him. She is.
How does this person have friends? I.
Again, we've seen her. She's good with her friends because she loves drama.
Yeah.
This is another. She's created drama because she loves drama. When her friends have drama, she swoops in and she's that good friend. She does a little candle around you. She makes you feel better about yourself. But God, she's insufferable in her own life. Yeah. And she's getting that dick. I'm not going to get over that for a week or so.
I'm glad that that is your biggest problem with her. and mine are on a visceral level.
Because good dick is hard to find.
That's true.
And that is a mirror. That is a, when he was, the first time he got an erection as an 18-year-old man, a star came down like when Christ and three wise gay men rowed a boat across
the
sea.
I sense a disturbance in the force.
Woo! Their names were Frankie, Gold, and Mary. And they went to fuck that dick in a barn while a sheep watched. And his daddy Joe is there. Ugh.
That's the show.
That's the show.
That's the way we're ending it.
Gay in a... I can't.
If you were offended by our depiction of nativity...
The gay-tivity.
Oh, you can follow us on Instagram at Reality Gaze Pod.
We're going to get podcast.
You can follow us on Twitter at Reality Gaze Pod. You can follow us on the TikTok at Reality Gaze. That's it. If you were horrified at our depiction of the nativity.
A voice cries out in the wilderness.
First of all, don't come at us because we don't care, but join the club. Call us.
Prepare a way for the dick.
Even I'm a little offended. Wow.
Christina loves it. Thank you.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.